All right, thank you. What a good message and song. Only heaven will reveal how many battles was won on our knees and how many we lost because maybe we were not on our knees. Amen. Appreciate song service this morning. We cut the choir a little bit short because of having prayer for Brother Gerald, but they have got him now on the way to the hospital. And so we're praying that things will be all right. Luke chapter 22 this morning. Luke chapter 22. Going to read a few verses in a couple of places in Luke chapter 22. And I'm going to speak to you on something that sounds backwards. I'm going to speak to you on the subject converting the saved. Not the lost, but the saved. Luke 22, pick it up in verse 31. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go to Luke. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Notice that. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Same chapter. Move on over with me, and go and pick it up in verse 54. They've come now, they've arrested Christ, they've taken him away to the kangaroo court. Verse 54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. Talking about with Jesus. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. So apparently this was a man after the little maid. And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I take you back to my thought, though, in the first few verses that I read, where the Lord said to Peter, and when thou art converted. Now, most of the time we use the word converted having to do with somebody getting lost and getting saved. It's kind of unusual here. The Lord was telling Peter, you need to be converted, and yet Peter had been converted. Peter had started following the Lord. He was trying to become a fisher of men. He was walking with the Lord. He was in the garden with the Lord when they came to arrest him. And it just seems strange that the Lord Jesus would be saying, you need to get converted. Now, we know what the word convert means. Changing from one thing to another. We know what a convertible automobile is. If you convert it, I guess down, no top, up with a top, it's different. Converts one to another. And so many things. In the old days, they were always trying to convert lead into gold. I don't think it worked too good. But a lot of different things that man tries to convert. If you're driving a modern car out there, you got a catalytic converter on it. They tell us that they're saving the environment. I have very little respect for that personally when it comes to that catalytic converter, the extra weight, extra heat, extra money, and I don't believe them much anyhow. But that's just me. But we understand the world is full of things that tries to get converted from one thing to another. Now, this is a religious term, conversion, convert. And we generally think of somebody getting saved, and if they really got saved, we'll see the conversion. We'll see the difference in their life. They'll become a new creature in Christ, and old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. And we love to see that. And the more we see it, the happier we are. And so generally we think of being converted from being lost to saved, from living like the devil to living for Jesus, and all of that is correct. But the text is unusual. Jesus is saying this to a saved man. Saying to a saved man, you need to be converted. I want to try to get a hold of the gist of it a little bit today. We want to ask why. Well, to begin with, Peter had fallen back. It's amazing how close he was to the Lord. And by the way, folks, you can be pretty close in church. You can be pretty close in singing the hymns. You can be pretty close even doing Christian things and fall back. And that's what happened with Peter. He had a good start. He gave up his fishing business apparently for a while. He was going to follow the Lord and do all these things. But now we see him denying. I never knew him. Wow. That's amazing. Well, he didn't get that way all at one time. Truthfully, he took some steps. There's always some steps. It's steps that we excuse ourselves with every now and then as we make excuse and dodge this and dodge that and find a way to justify this. And all the time we're stepping away from the Lord instead of stepping closer to him. That's what happened with Peter. When the Lord went out there that night after instituting the Lord's Supper and going out to the garden, and he's out there praying, and he's praying in great agony, and his sweat becomes drops of blood. And he tells the disciples to watch with him, and they went to sleep. And he said, couldn't you just watch with me 1 hour? And finally he said to them, go ahead and take your sleep. Son of Man's already betrayed. And Peter was in that crowd, and Peter was sleeping when he ought to have been awake. That was one step. That was a big step, honestly. The other thing Peter had already started, if you were to go back all the way and do this, first book of the New Testament, go with me to the book of Matthew. Go with me to Matthew. We're going to go to chapter 16. I want to show you something about Peter here. I want to show you how quick sometimes something can happen. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus has asked the question, who do men say that I am? And Peter had answered correctly, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus had commended him for that and told him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's Matthew 16, verses 15, 16, 17. And he said to him, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock wasn't Peter, the rock was Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I want you to see something. Peter is the one that made the confession. Peter's the one that said, thou art the Son of God. Jesus said, you got that from heaven. God revealed that to you. Wonderful. Peter is close to the Lord. But just a few verses further in Matthew 16, Jesus is talking, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and raised again the third day. Now watch what happens in verse 22. Then Peter, the same one that made the great confession, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned, Jesus turned, and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, what, Satan? Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. In a few verses, he goes from the great confession to the Lord having to speak to Satan inside of him. Wow, that's a pretty good slip in a hurry. And see, what you have here is you have Peter with his own plan, with his own will, even to the place he's correcting Jesus. No matter that Jesus just got through teaching, I am going to Jerusalem. I will be killed. But I will be raised the third day. And somehow Peter missed it. And said, no, I don't want that to happen. I want my will done, not your will done. I will not, Lord, we're not going to let this happen to you. And later on we see him say, well, I'll go to prison. I'll die with you. And in a little while, he's denying the Lord. Now you see why Jesus said to him, when thou art converted, he needed a conversion. He was saved, but he had not got converted to the will of Jesus, to follow Jesus. He had his own plan. He had his own will. And folks, we're all a lot like Peter. We got the same thing working against us to take us away from the Lord. We're asleep sometimes in the sense of not paying attention to the things of God. Sometimes, like Peter, we're confused. And I'll give Peter some credit. He had some right to be confused. The Lord told him they were going to the garden that night, and he was telling them about hard times coming. And I think he was symbolically saying, it's going to be a time for a sword, for a fight. And the disciples, well, we got, said to him, said, well, we got two of them. Is that enough? I think Jesus said, oh, you can't get it. You can't understand it. I really think that's what he was saying to them. But when the crowd showed up, Peter in the flesh grabbed a sword and swung it at one of them. And he didn't swing at an ear. He swung at a head. And the head ducked and the ear got cut off. Oh, yeah. And Jesus put it back on. Now, Peter was confused. Didn't he say, get a sword? How come I can't use a sword? How come he healed the guy up? Let me have another lick at him. That's about us. We get confused and we want to get in the flesh and we want to fight the way we want to fight instead of the way Jesus wants us to fight. Just got through hearing the young lady sing about winning the war on our knees. We'd rather win it with a sword. And that's exactly what Peter was. He was confused. He was saved, and he wanted everything to be right. I want to say to you, one of the biggest confusions that comes in the mind of a new convert, it came in my mind when I first got saved as a young man. I was driving race cars on the racetrack and winning some races and doing pretty good. But when I got saved, the devil got in my head and said, if you were doing that good without God, how good are you going to do with him? And my mind said, oh boy, this is going to be great. Nothing's going to go wrong now. The devil set you up like that. Peter probably had that same thought. Boy, oh boy, we're going to take the kingdom. The kingdom ought to come. Jesus is going to win. We're going to take care of this crowd. I think maybe he was thinking that way. So now he's confused. He's disappointed. He don't hardly know what to do, and he does wrong. I remember when I had that thought about the race car. I was racing that weekend and on a Saturday. And I was coming back into the state, from the north, and I'd been in touch with now it was 4 cell phones, if you kids can relate to that. It wasn't quite as easy. You stopped at a phone booth and put a dime in it. Anyhow, I was in touch with my crew, and they were bringing the car up from the south, and I was coming down from the north, and we were going to meet and race in a big race in Orlando. I got there, but my car wasn't there. I thought they tied up in traffic. I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and it never did show up. I found out they were mixed up, and they took it to Tampa, to the big race in Tampa, instead of Orlando. The drivers in Orlando and the cars in Tampa. And I'm saying, Lord, didn't I just get saved? I thought everything was going right. This is the kind of thing that would happen if I wasn't saved. Boy, the devil loves to do you that way. And Peter was somewhat in that pickle. He was somewhat confused. Just, didn't I get saved? How come things aren't going right? Have you been there? I gave up my fishing business. Lord, I've been following you, and what's wrong? The devil loves to trick us like that. Later on, you find out Peter went back to his fishing business, didn't he? If you read John 21, even after the resurrection of Christ, about the third time that they had seen Jesus after the resurrection, Jesus had to come, and Peter's out on the boat, and he's led the other disciples out on the boat, and they're fishing, but guess what? They're not catching anything. I want to say something to some of you that you've been saved. You think you've tried God, and now you're tempted to go back to the old way, back to the old fishing business, back to what you used to do. Hear me good. You forgot how hard it was back there. See, when they went out, they didn't catch anything. All of a sudden, it's not so good. The devil said, oh, come on back. Get on back. Go back to your old life. This business of following Jesus is not worthwhile. It was hard before you got saved. It may still be hard, but there's a difference. You got Jesus to help you through the hard spots now. All the old life wasn't so good. We can talk about it. We can joke about it. But you got stabbed in the back in the old life. You got lied on in the old life. You got cheated in the old life. You had pain. You got sick. You had financial problems. All of that's still waiting on you right back there. It's not a bed of roses back there. Just remember it wasn't. And the devil will say, oh, don't you remember when you could go back to the leeks and onions in Egypt and enjoy them? Oh, no, no, no. There's something wrong back then. You just forgot. Leaving the Lord don't help you. Even if God is chastening you, the answer is not running from him, but drawing near to him. I've told this, but I want to hear it again. When I was a kid, we had peach trees in Georgia where I was born, and they were good for no peaches, but they were good for switches. And mama could lay on a switch. It's like a buggy whip. You'd think you got around the corner, it'd reach right around the corner and pull you back. Seemed that way as a kid. Then I got a little smarter. I quit running from mama. And I started going up and hugging her. Mama, I love you. And to see the leverage was not near as good with the switch. Some folks never got that smart with God. You're still running around the corner and he's having to jerk you back. You're only going to get a switching from God sometime, but it's still the best place to be. And the closer we draw to him, the better off we will be. I want to say to you, what I see here with Peter not only fits Peter, it fits our nation today. Peter needed a conversion. Our nation needs a conversion. You know, we had a great beginning as a nation. The people that came over and discovered America was not looking. I mean, the pilgrims, when they came in, they were not looking for gold. They were looking for a place they could worship God in freedom. America had a great foundation, had a great start. That foundation built. It took us through our War of Independence. We grew strong in God, and righteousness, as the scripture says in Proverbs 14, exalted our nation. And all of that happened. It carried us through world wars. And I want to tell you something. If God hadn't have been with us during World War II, you'd all be speaking German right now. The whole truth of the matter is God was in that thing. You go back and study some of that thing. It had to be a miracle of God. That's what it had to be. And yet, we have slipped away, haven't we? We have been slipping away for years. Had a great beginning. We saw God's hands. Then we went to sleep, sort of like Peter, in the crisis hour. All of a sudden, we just kind of dried up and went to sleep, and we got brainwashed, and now look where we're at. Too bad. The enemy is entrenched. We have some hope in this election, but look how far behind the eight ball we are. Even if the man that got in and I wouldn't vote for him to be my pastor. I wouldn't make him a deacon if he joined my church. But if God put him in there to fight fire with fire, then amen, pray for him. Because it's going to take God to preserve him, I'll tell you that. And the fact he's got the guts enough to say what's right, I'm for that. But we found out one thing by putting him in. The enemy was more deeply entrenched than we ever suspected. And the swamp was slimier than we ever thought. And so I don't know how it's going to turn out. I tell you this, if we could get America converted again back to where they were, Peter's conversion was to take him back to where he was. That's what Jesus said, when thou art converted, when you get back right. Peter would have died that night at the devil's fire. He'd have been in heaven. He'd been saved, but He sure would have been sad to face God. He was sad later on in John 21 to face the Lord when he was walking out there on the beach and Peter was in the boat and he couldn't catch anything. And he found out it was the Lord and he was naked out there in the boat and he grabbed a coat and put it on and came in. He had to face Jesus. One day we're all going to face Jesus. I don't want to face him like Peter did. Peter had to hear the Lord say, "Lovest thou me?" Three times he heard him say, "Lovest thou me? Then feed my sheep." Peter was embarrassed, but he had to face God. Say, when did Peter get converted? If not before he got converted that night, after he'd caught nothing and faced the Lord. Truth is, I don't want to get converted then. I want to get converted now. All of us from time to time need to get converted back to where we slipped from. Wherever it was, we got cold. That's where we need to come back. See, it fits the church as well as it fits the nation. You think about that now. Our nation's in a mess. Somebody says, but we have a democracy. Our democracy has turned into two wolves and a sheep voting on what's going to be for supper. Think that one through. We can't trust hardly a thing anymore. We need to get converted back to under God that's in the flag, to in God we trust on our coins, to where we lift up the Lord Jesus. We end our prayers, public prayers as well as others, in Jesus' name. That's what we need to get converted back to as a nation. We need to get back where we once were, that cared us through the hard times before we went to sleep. But the church would fit into that too. Our church needs converting. I tell you why the nation got in a mess. The pulpits got in a mess. And the pews got in a mess. That's why the nation got in a mess. From a local election in a little city to a county to a state to a nation. If the pulpits and pews had stayed right, we'd have had some more decent people in high office. But we went to sleep like Peter. We need to get converted back. Honestly, folks, think with me. Our membership, churches all over this land, if just the membership in the pews got converted back, it would change this nation. That's right. That's right. I'm pointing the finger at me and you. You see, it's one thing to come and enjoy the things of the Lord and be blessed, but it's something else. Do we take a stand out there where it needs to be taken? Oh, you say, well, we voted for some good men and they went to Washington and then they became corrupt. Yeah, sometimes we didn't hold the rope either. And I know they'll promise and do other things. But there was a time in this nation when politicians would not have dared to do even think what they're doing now. Because they feared the house of God. They feared the people of God. And we need to get converted back to that bad. Peter slipped a long way, but thank God he was able to come back. We have slipped a long way as a nation. We have slipped a long way as a church. We are in the age predicted by the Bible of the Laodicean church. But bless God, it's not over yet. Peter still had a chance to get converted back, and so do we. If we want it bad enough. I say this to preachers that'll hear this message rerun. Fellas, we're just very guilty of all of a sudden being afraid to say what ought to be said and to help people take a stand that ought to stand. I remember a politician right here in this county, he told me, he said, I'm gonna have a Muslim come down and open in prayer. I said, you like your job? I said that. He said, what do you mean? I said, you do, and when you run for election, I'm going to do everything I can to defeat you. Now, that was no stuttering in it. And that's what preachers need to do. You don't have no Muslims standing up in my government that don't believe that Jesus was crucified and rose again. They don't believe you can go to heaven unless you wash your hands in the infidel's blood. My soul. What happened to the backbone God's men used to have? Boy, we need to get converted back. Boy, we do. Really do. I know it's painful sometime to wake somebody up. A conversion can be painful sometime. Peter wept here when the rooster crowed, didn't he? He hurt. He realized, it's me, oh Lord, I done it. I done just what you prophesied. I fell back. And now I want to get back. But he was weeping over it. He hurt. It had hurt us some in America to get back right. And we don't want to hurt. It hurt us some in the churches to get back right. But we don't want to hurt. I can't preach like Pastor Carter. My folks would leave. Well, maybe God would send you some better ones. Right. And I have heard that very statement. A preacher, I can't say it like you. You could. You got the same kind of tongue I got. And you know as right from wrong as much as I do. Just grow a little spine back there and stand up on your hind legs and holler and let the chips fall where they will. And bless God, who sticks, sticks. And whoever runs, runs. But stand for what's right. Amen and amen. Sometimes it's painful to wake up a little bit. Cost has been great in our nation, on our families and on our kids, and in our churches. A lot of parents sitting in churches lost their kids because the parent wasn't converted to the mind of Jesus and the will of Jesus. They were just window shopping the church. Just a little part of it, but not really taking a stand for anything. That's sad, folks, but it's too true. What we need is revival in our nation. But our revival in our nation is going to have to start in the house of God with the people of God. And it's the only thing that could save our nation. It is said that England was saved from a revolution like France had. France had an awful, bloody revolution. We think about the guillotine and the chopping off of heads. And you know why France led the way as being an atheist nation? Frenchmen like Voltaire and others denying God, and the French Revolution occurred. They say England would have gone the same way had it not been for preachers like Whitfield and Wesley and others that stood up and brought the people back, got them converted back to what was right, and saved a whole nation. And America could be saved. Right now, this morning, if every preacher got up and the congregations got right, it would do something for Washington, D.C. It would do something about these liberal judges and others. It would do something against the homosexual movement and against all this gender business and all the rotten stuff in the swamp. It would do something if the churches got converted again. Back to what they were. Back to what they were. They say there was a time in Dallas, Texas, First Baptist Church, George W. Truett and later Wally Criswell. They said there was a time they wouldn't have an election. There's a time that nothing got voted on unless they went to the church to see how it stood. The First Baptist Church, big and standing right. What's happened to those churches? We need to get converted back to save our nation. We need to get converted back to save our families and our kids, as well as lost souls. I'll tell you something. As a lost man, if I came into a pussyfooting church, I'd have never got saved. That would have fit already what I had in my mind. Bunch of sissies in here. That's what I thought. I come in and I heard real straight Bible preaching, and I shook hands with some men that love God, and I begin to see, hey, I was wrong. We still need that image coming across. We still need to be standing up for the truth. Revival could still save our nation if we really got to it. You know what? Converted back means being converted back to the mind of Jesus. Peter here, set by the devil's fire because he missed what Jesus had said. Oh, he gets back in a painful way, in a hurting way, in a weeping way. I want to tell you what's good about this story with Peter, though. It does tell us that we can follow far off one day, but we can come back another day and get right. And Peter did come back, and he did get right, and God did use him. And he preached on the day of Pentecost and had 3,000 souls saved. The same Peter that denied the Lord. The same Peter that was afraid of a little maid and a couple of men mocking him. All of a sudden, he's got a backbone again, and he's converted back, and he's willing now to truly go and die for the Lord if necessary, and he did. History tells us that Peter was crucified and for his faith, for Jesus, but that he made a request before he was crucified that he was not worthy to be crucified like Jesus, so would you please crucify me upside down? And that's the story that seems to be pretty real. Yes, he did come back. I want to say to you today, let's all look in our own hearts, our own life. Do we need converting? Say, preacher, I've been saved a long time. Are you where you used to be? Close to the Lord? Been drifting away, growing cold, sleeping when you ought to have been awake for God, warming your hands by the devil's fire? Oh, listen, it can happen to you before you know it. What we need today is some conversions of saved people, getting them back on fire and close to God. If I know my heart, getting older, I can describe more pains to you, and the rest of you can, don't matter. I want to stay converted to the Lord. Don't you? I believe you do. If you're here today and you're not saved, you can come and be converted to Christ to start with. What does that mean, preacher? It means when you trust Christ that loved you and died for your sins, he'll save your soul. And that conversion will make a difference in your life. When you get converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never be the same if you really, really come and trust him. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads and let's stand quietly. Father, we come to you in prayer. We commit the invitation to you. Lord, I admit I've preached more to your people this morning. Too many people like Peter that's never been converted back. I pray for those that would admit that truth to themselves. Father, it would begin with them admitting that truth to ever get back where we ought to be. I pray for our nation, but it's not going to get back, Lord, unless God's church and God's people lead the way. I know that. So I pray for us in this room. I pray for other churches out there. I pray for Christians that realize I need to get converted back to where I was. I know the truth. I pray you'd bless the invitation that one here without Christ could come this morning and be saved. Father, may they look and see there's no hope in this world, not in politics, not in anything else, but Jesus is the only hope. I pray they'd come and receive him before it's too late. Bless, I pray, in the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing this morning.
John.